Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf on Lime at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, best of new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, wide selection, all the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Sexton with the steal. Down to Betty. He's going to jam it. Westbrook fouls him. Russell Westbrook fouls Simmons, and Simmons pours it in. It is getting hot and heavy here in the third. Sixers by six.
Tom McGinnis with the call. It's when the Sixers beat the Wizards and advanced. And last night, by the way, tied the series with the Atlanta Hawks with a strong all-around performance. So that series tied at one. Nets are up 2-0 on the Bucks. Denver, Nikola Jokic ended up winning the MVP in the league. That'll probably like motivate LeBron to win the championship. Oh, that's right. He's been eliminated. Yeah. He announced today, by the way, he's changing his number back to 6. That's like the headline on ESPN. What the heck? That's a headline? Who cares? He's not playing. Oh, that's right. Jersey sales. The weird world we live in, guys. Weird world. Things that would... When I was first starting out in this business, right, were absolute non-stories are big stories now. You're like, I don't get it. I don't care if he wears 88. I mean, seriously, you look at some of the stuff that's put out. A lot now, there's some serious stuff put out there. I mean, there's serious stuff that's put out. Let me see here. Go to ESPN.com, which is normally a very entertaining source. LeBron to wear number 6. Anthony Davis to stay at number 3. Okay, who cares? Bjorken is fired as Pacers coach after one season. Okay, that's a story. Watson wants to go to Broncos, ex-teammate says. Does anybody want him? Nets, Harden and Green progressing out for game 3. That's a story. Koepka, DeChambeau, beef, good for the game. Brady knew he would need knee surgery in early 20. Brown's chief of staff suspended after DUI. Nadal to 14th French Open tennis semi-extending record. Yeah, most of those are actually legit. Half the time, the ESPN headline stories are just like, you sit back and say, you got to be kidding me. Really? I mean, that's the story? Now, I realize that we gave you a play-by-play call of the day. But the play last night that had people talking, of course, was the one with Cabrian Hayes.
He spots this one down the right field line towards the pole. And boy, that's going to be interesting to see what the call is. He's not taking anything for granted. Headed to second, and now they signal home run. This for sure will be taken a look at in New York, but as it stands, Hayes has a home run to start the scoring.
Call that a foul ball?
I think they called him
Ow. Oh. Did he miss first base?
And did they?
Oh, yeah.
So,
wow.
There was a challenge then, not of the umpires, but from Dave Roberts and the Dodgers. They challenged that he touched first, and on replay, they see that he clearly didn't.
Joe Davis, who, by the way, is outstanding and a great guy to talk to. I talked to Joe a couple times because he's done some Penn State games for Fox. But, yeah, he missed first base. I mean, I'm talking like he missed it by a wide margin. You have to give them credit. They invent new ways to have you sit back and go, really? Really? The Dodgers hit home runs last night and touched every base. They're the defending world champions. For all of you Philly fans out there, be relieved. The team on the western side of the state is bizarro world. I believe they had a game. Let me check here. I believe they had a game. The Pirates did. Maybe it was against the Marlins, where they drew 5,000 fans, and they 100% were allowed in. So let's see last night. Dodgers-Pirates. Box score. Probably had a good crowd because the Dodgers are there. Let's just see here. No, they don't have the attendance in here. I was hoping they would. Because I'd like to see exactly how many people they drew last night. Let's see, full play-by-play. I'm just kind of going through wherever I can find the thing here. Normally in a box score, they'll tell you what the attendance happens to be. But that has been... I mean, let's face it, it's you know, the fans are going to vote as to, hey, we're going in the right direction. And by the way, Hayes is a marvelous prospect. He really is. I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. He really is an excellent prospect. Last night's attendance was 9,047. That's for the Dodgers. 9,047. Egad. 9,047 for last night's game. I think the last time they played was the Marlins. Now, look, the Marlins, let's be fair, they're not going to draw. But this is how you vote with how the game is, you know, do you agree with what the organization is doing? So what they played the Marlins Sunday, right? Yeah, they played the Marlins Sunday. So... now, this is a Sunday game. And I'll have to go through the same sequencing to find it here, I'm pretty sure. In the game, well, I guess they lost the game. But they did take 2 out of 3. Let's check GameCast here. Sometimes in GameCast you can get to it. Yeah, there we go. Attendance. Win probability, don't care. 5,477. So that means that they have drawn 14,500 fans total the last two games. And remember, they're allowed 100%. PNC Park had 14% of the seats filled for a Sunday game. And the weather Sunday was pretty good. So for a couple of yayas, let's look at Saturday. Okay, Pirates won this game 8-7. So they won the game 8-7. And the attendance on Saturday was 8,714. All right, so that's the second highest attendance in the last three games. And so we go back now to Friday night. So they haven't cracked 10,000 once, with 100% now allowed in the ballpark. 100% allowed in the ballpark. All right, so we go there. Check it out. This is a Friday night game now. I'm going to guess this is going to be another low number, like really low number. I mean, the Pirates won this game too. And they had 8,044. Wow. I mean, and they're allowed 100%. That tells you everything about what's going on here. That tells you everything. I mean, the fans are telling the Pirates organization in no uncertain terms, you know what? This is garbage. We don't want to watch it. You got a really good player in Adam Frazier who's hitting 330. How many people think he's going to be there when the, you know, on July 31st? Brian Reynolds is not bad. He's hit 9 home runs. He's driven in 28. All right, good player, hitting 286. How many of you people think he's going to be there on July 31st? I mean, there are contenders lining up for these guys. The Ke'Bryan Hayes kid has played 7 games total this year. No, he's hitting 333. I mean, he's obviously a great prospect, but you know, he was out for such a long time. He's only played in 7 games. And, of course, he lost a home run last night, as we've already outlined. But that is a sad story. I was listening to the Red Sox game driving home from Medler Field, Lebronto Park last night, because I had a game, my own game I had to do in the MLB Draft League with Williamsport, and the Cutters won at 6-3 last night. So I'm driving home, and I'm listening to the Astros and the Red Sox on the Red Sox radio network. And Sean McDonough was doing the game last night, and he says, let's get to the out-of-town scoreboard. And he got to the Pirates. In fact, he started with the Pirates and whatever the score was at the time. And he said, that is the worst team in baseball. Now, Dick from Milton may disagree with that assessment, because I know he is not enamored with his Orioles right now, and the Orioles do, I think, have a worse record than the Pirates. Well, the Pirates, 23-36, they're playing 390 baseball. But the other day they're playing, I guess it was the Marlins. And on the radio broadcast, they start talking about how great the ballpark is. And believe me, that's not inaccurate. That ballpark is great. PNC Park is a beautiful ballpark. I think Citizens Bank Park is great. I think PNC Park might even be a little bit better than that. You know, maybe it's the view of the city right over the river. I don't know. It might have something to do with it. But it's a great ballpark. So is Citizens Bank. They're both great ballparks. But they're going on and on and on without doing any play-by-play about the ballpark and how one of the Dodger pitchers said he always wanted to pitch in that park. And I guess his name was Rogers, or maybe it was one of the Marlins. Marlins pitcher Rogers. You know, he always wanted to pitch there. It's always a lifelong dream, blah, blah, blah. And they went on for like 5 to 10 minutes about the ballpark. Okay. I got it. Because that's what they have to sell right now. They don't have anything else to sell. And that's a problem. And I go back. This is something I've talked about before, but I'll bring it up again. Roberto Clemente was an awesome player. 3,000 career hits. World Series MVP. Gold Glove after Gold Glove. All-Star Game after All-Star Game. Incredible humanitarian. Okay. Phenomenal. Everywhere you look, though, you see Pirate fans wearing 21 shirts or a jersey. Well, it's a wonderful tribute to Roberto Clemente. But it just screams volumes in another way. Hey, if I'm owning a team, I don't mind, you know, if I'm owning the Pirates, I don't mind they have Clemente jerseys, but where's the Cabrian Hayes jersey? Where's the Adam Frazier jersey? Where's the Stallings jersey? Where's the Brubaker jersey? What, like, my current players? Unfortunately, tragically, Roberto Clemente has been dead now for 49 years. There are people wearing his jersey that never once saw him play a game. I mean, he passed away 49 years ago. You know, technically 48 and a half. Okay. But if you're looking at merchandise sales, and we just talk about LeBron going to number six, so they'll sell more jerseys, all right, because LeBron's wearing a Lakers six jersey. Okay, great. Right? But if you go to a Lakers game, you probably got a whole bunch of people wearing threes, a whole bunch of people wearing sixes. Yes, you probably have some people wearing eights and 24s because of Kobe Bryant. But you don't have a lot of people at Laker games wearing 44s for Jerry West or 13s for Wilt Chamberlain. Most of them are wearing the jerseys and the stuff of the guys that are on the team. And that's the problem with the Pirates. They've only had, since 1979, so now we're going back 42 years, they've only had two good runs, 90 to 92, and obviously what they did from, 13 to, 15, 16? I think maybe 15. Those 3 years, it's been it. That's been it. 13, 14, 15. Beat the Reds in that one-game playoff, beat Johnny Cueto. But then they lost to Madison Bumgarner and the Giants, got shot out 4-0, and then Schwarber hit a home run in the first inning, and the Cubs beat him. But those have been the only two runs in 42 years that encompass a total of 6 years. The other 36 years have been yikes. If you're a Phillies fan, A, your team does spend money. JT Realmuto, big contract. Bryce Harper, big contract. Obviously, what are they going to do with Aaron Nola? Wheeler, obviously, is a really good acquisition. The frustrating part with the Phillies is you do feel they should be better. I mean, you do feel they should be better. And for some reason, they can't get traction at any moment. They've had a center field problem. They've had a couple of other problems, too. You feel like they should be better than they are. But I'll tell you right now, the Pirates are just, I mean, they're unwatchable. And that's the last thing you want your team to be, is unwatchable. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment, as long as we're not unlistenable. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yeah, every time I hear the
Topol Hocken commercial. They talk about carrying around a bottle. It reminds me of the suit going into the Shikellamy broadcast booth. I just don't, you know. But we have questions about whether it's water. Yeah, just questions. Message from this station, the Ad Council, and Dave Ritchie. At least Doug Birdsong can control it a little bit. He's the play-by-play guy. Right. And I also think Doug controls the board, too, doesn't he? Where he can just, like, suit's talking and he's not on the air, you know. Sad. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. As we roll through, congratulations to Matt and Lisa Cotrillo on the birth of their second child, the son, this morning. 7 pounds, 2.5 ounces, 18.5 inches long. Little Luke has a little brother. How about that? Congratulations to them. We're so happy for them. Matt will be out the rest of the week for some odd reason. I mean, really. Mark, it's just, I mean, I'm questioning the loyalty, Mark. Even though it's the right thing to do. Congrats. I'm so happy for them. So happy for them. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. We can't ask for better than that for new inventory. And the best in pre-owned inventory. Hey, budgets are important. And with budgets being so important, you have to have the ability to get a pre-owned vehicle and have some trust behind it. That means the Sunbury Motors guarantee. It's all Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to have you with us on the show today. We congratulate the Cotrillos, by the way, on the birth of their second son. So little Luke is going to have a baby brother. Has a baby brother. As little Mark was born this morning at 8:59. Mark Peter. I think it was really, I don't know about you, but that was nice to send the name after you. Yeah, I mean, aren't you touched by that?
Absolutely. I thought he named him after Mark Lawrence, though. That was the
well.
Thing.
No, that's the argument going on internally after Lawrence. So, yeah, I mean, between you and Lawrence, I think each one of you can take credit. And of course, you know, the suit's a little bothered. Because he thought the middle name would be Suit. It's just, I don't know. I don't understand, you know. I don't understand where that thought process comes from. I don't know about you. Mark the Suit Cotrillo. That's what he was hoping for. It's sad. It really is. Even in the birth of someone else's child, he feels like he has to be the center of attention with it. Oh, my goodness. There's already an article put out about underclassmen who should withdraw from the NBA draft and return to college basketball by David Cobb. Good for David. So, let's see. Who did he put out here?
Hunter Dickinson, Michigan, won. No question. I mean, now that doesn't help Penn State. I would like to see Dickinson in the NBA, but I agree with him. He says that Musa Cici from Memphis should pull out. Five-star kid, projected one and done. They said it became very clear that it was rawer than most realized. Again, I'm going to talk about this in a moment. Joshua Primo from Alabama, 6'6 forward. All right. He needs another year in Nate Oates' system, which, by the way, is an NBA-style system. Marcus Bagley of Arizona State. He struggled last year. I mean, he did have 11.6 boards a game, but look, I mean, you got to do a little bit more than that in college. But he only played 12 games. And then Hunter Dickinson, great start for him. Got great hands, he can go left, he can go right. Faces the basket, maybe about 10, 12 footer. After that, it's a real struggle. But centers in the modern NBA need to go out there and have to have the ability to do two things. They have to have the ability to once in a while hit a three-pointer. Dickinson only took four all last season. And they have to be able to defend the pick and roll, and he is not very good at that. So, good article. And again, guys that should, a whole bunch of guys should pull out, in my opinion, a whole bunch. There are so many players in college basketball. I mean, why is it? First of all, let's just use the logic of numbers. The logic of numbers is quite simple. There are, I don't know, anywhere from 180 to 210 players that put their names into the NBA draft. You know there are only 60 guys taken, right? 60. And by the way, among the 60, some of them were foreign players. Uh-oh. That's a problem. I mean, whomever's advising these guys, I'll never understand it. So let's get, I mean, so now let's do this in general. Prospects. Being a prospect and having potential are two fancy ways of saying you've never done it before at that level. So you look at the young man, Cabrian Hayes. He's played seven games. It looks like he has great potential, and there have been moments where he's shown between last year and this year, he's got it, okay? And then there are other moments where you sit back and say, he doesn't have it. It's all about adjustments. Somebody was talking to me today about Bobby Witt Jr. He did the same thing Hayes did last night. On a home run, he actually missed home plate. Although I looked at the replay of it, and so I could, you know, the angle I saw, I thought he touched it, but that's irrelevant. But he missed. They threw the ball to home. Catcher touched home plate on an appeal, and he was called out. So the umpire thought he missed home plate. And somebody was saying to me, well, you know, he's the number five prospect in all of baseball. Now, numbers are great. Rankings are great. It creates interest and so forth. But you know I'm not a big believer in any of that stuff. You know, as I've said once, I've said a million. And again, I can do this. I can do this. It is not something that I expect a fan to do. A fan wants to know as much as they can about a prospect before they play a game for you. So fans will watch highlight tapes of the player playing basketball, the player wrestling, you know, the individual wrestling, the player that's playing football, what kind of quarterback, what kind of arm, you know, or he's a receiver, what kind of hands. As I've said once, I've said a million times on the show that I won't watch highlight tapes because when you watch a highlight tape, show me the one where he misses the game-winning shot. Show me the one where he drops the pass. Show me the one where he throws the interception. Show me the one where he commits a turnover on a fast break. It's not there. It's a highlight tape for a reason. They're trying to showcase their best. That's what I would do. You know, it's Mark knows, for example. I mean, when people are going after jobs, you don't put your flubs on the flash drive, do you? It's all the good stuff. You're trying to get the job. I have the luxury of being able to go to practice And in that process, I can now see them against comparable talent on an everyday basis. I see the good stuff. I see the flaws. All right. And we put so much on young athletes to be really good right away. You know, so Bobby Witt Jr., he may end up going to the majors, and he may be a phenomenal player. Or he may go to the majors like the Kelenic kid did with Seattle. Kelenic, he's got to be up. He's got to be up. He's got to be here. You know, he was a big, he was a lightning rod of controversy in spring training. Not him, but he didn't do anything wrong. But because that the Mariners were going to leave spring training and he wasn't going to be a part of the mix. Oh, what's Seattle doing? He should be up. So they finally call him up. And, of course, they call him up in such a time where his major league clock now buys the Mariners another year. And he's a terrific prospect, but he went 0 for 39. So back down to Tacoma he goes. Now he'll be back up. He'll get another chance at it. And I hope when he does, he does extremely well. Lamont Wade, when he was here at Penn State, first couple of years here, he really, you know, it's like some good moments, some mediocre moments. His junior year, he was really, really good. But he came here as a five-star prospect. Now, and then there are some five stars, Micah Parsons, Brandon Smith, Curtis Jacobs. Like, you can see right away that, you know, they're out there playing and fulfilling it. But not everything is guaranteed all the time. And for, I'll give you one. Trevor Lawrence. Everybody says he's going to be a star in the NFL. And, obviously I'd be foolish not to think that he has a chance to be a star. I mean, he's proven so much from high school to college. But we have to take into account the move from high school to college is a canyon. And going from college to the pros is a gigantic leap. It just is. That way, I've always admired the ones that could go from high school to college, and they play, and they start right away, and they star, and they're terrific. And it's like, wow. I give them, you have to be really good, really special to do that. Same thing in the pros. You go from college to the pros, and you make the transition, you do it well and make it look easy. Wow, you have to be special to do that. You really do. Everybody else is on their own clock. So now let's get to Lawrence. Everybody expects him to be a star. Well, I'm going to wait and see. And I've taken much more of a wait-and-see attitude on almost everything I see these days. A wait-and-see attitude. And the reason I take a wait-and-see attitude is, you know, number one, why don't you be more bold and predictive? But remember, when he was at Clemson, his offensive line was better than everybody they faced until he got to the matchups with Ohio State and Alabama. They were better than everybody. The first half, you remember, he had the terrific championship game against Alabama. They won. Then in his sophomore year, if you remember, he got off to a little bit of a like twist and turn start. And he threw some interceptions that people were surprised at. Then he settled down. The second half of the season, he was terrific. I think he may have only thrown one pick the rest of the way. Against Ohio State, this is Ohio State a year ago, he was terrific. Played a great game, ripped off some big runs. I think he ran for over 100 yards in the game, and he got Clemson to the championship game. But then in the championship game, he didn't play well. He flat out against Alabama did not play well. This past season when he was out there, he was really good. And then when he got to the Ohio State game, he didn't play well against Ohio State at all. So it's not going to be a surefire that every game he's terrific because he can be, you know, he'll have his ups and downs. I mean, Jacksonville's 1-15 for a reason. One of the reasons is their offensive line is lousy. Dick in Milton. Hi, my friend. How are you?
I asked you a question about the baseball and state that the spikes in Waynesport. Maybe it's not a fair way. Maybe you can't judge it. Can you make any comparison between the baseball when they were affiliated with teams and the baseball now?
It's a little bit better, and here's the reason why. Most of the participants, not all, but most of them are older, Dick. Most of them have gone through three. A couple have gone through 4 years of college. So after making that commitment out of high school to go to college where I had to stay in, they're more mature, and you can see the difference in it, as opposed to having, you know, an 18 or 19-year-old prospect there that is just a prospect. Now, are there some 19-year-olds in there? Yes. Have there been three 17-year-olds I've seen? Yes, because they're eligible for the draft at 17. But for the most part, it is a more mature league than what they had before, and thus the caliber of baseball actually is better.
Nickerson is better now.
Yes.
So how do these kids get selected to participate in this, as opposed to, let's say, the Mets or the Phillies picking their kid? How do they get picked for these teams?
The league is essentially being run by Prep Baseball Report, all right? And PBR has done extensive scouting from one camp to another, while also studying some regular season games as well, where they put together scouting reports on everybody. So I have a scouting report on everybody. So I'll give you an example of a kid. A kid who's out of Omaha, University of Nebraska at Omaha. He's from Harrisburg, South Dakota. All right. So I've got all his stats from this past season, which aren't that terrific, like 37 and two-thirds innings pitched, 38 hits. But 9.6 strikeouts per nine innings, 250 batting average against him, had a 2.70 ERA in 2020. Fastballs 89 to 91, could touch 93. Low 80s changeup, 12-6 curve, low 70s. So I've got scouting reports like that on everybody. Now, they're looking for all the analytics stuff that you and I are getting used to. While I still use batting averages, home runs, RBIs, they have an entire group in the box with, I believe, five computer screens in front of them that show exit velocity, spin rates, and things like that. And they're getting graded on that stuff all the time. So that's what they're looking for in these guys. And when the draft comes up next month in Denver, you're going to see a lot of guys that are playing in this league get drafted and then begin their major league journeys. And some of them may not begin at low A. They may begin at high A instead of low A.
So the teams that are playing now, whatever their roster, could be depleted of some ball players.
It can be, because they've already had their players that entered the league that were from junior colleges that were on 14-day agreements. On Monday, the 14 days expired, and so I'd say about 40% of the players moved out, and other players that have been playing regular season games or playoff games moved in. I'll give you an example. The Spikes have two players from the University of Missouri. Those two players came to State College when Missouri's season ended in the Southeastern Conference because they lost in the opening round to the SEC tournament. There'll be more of those players from the College World Series that will start migrating their way into the league to get ready for the draft and show off, because there are scouts all over the place. I had a long talk with the Angels scout the other night, as an example. And so that's what this is about. And because it's an older league, as opposed to having a mix of, you know, 19-year-olds and their 18-year-olds, they're still trying to find their way. You've got guys that are that have gone through the rigors of college baseball or junior college baseball, and guess what? They're now ready to be drafted.
So in the long run, you think this will last? My question: is this sustainable the way they're doing this?
I think it's sustainable.
A team sponsor and a team.
Yeah. First of all, it's an excellent question. I think it's sustainable. First of all, keeping the franchises in the same spots, Williamsport, State College, Mahoning Valley, West Virginia, and then they added in Frederick and Trenton, that does help with local identity of a team. So if you're a Crosscutters fan and you're going to Bowman Field, you're still watching the Crosscutters, and instead of seeing them just after they got drafted,
Like Adam Haseley just got drafted. Bryson Stott just got drafted. So you get to see the first, you know, month of their professional careers. What you're going to see are players just before they get drafted, and then stay here for a month.
Is there any other leagues in the United States doing this except this league? This is a one league thing.
No, obviously the Cape Cod League has been traditional as a summer wooden bat league, but that's for players who are going back to college. They're not going into the draft, but it's to showcase themselves while in college during their 3-year stint in college. So the Cape Cod League is there. The Appalachian League is featuring freshmen and sophomores in college. So they're not going to be drafted, but they're freshmen and sophomores. And I believe the Pioneer League is doing the same thing as well. That's how they kept the Appalachian League, the Pioneer League, and the franchises here alive as professional franchises.
Okay. I know it was touch and go whether they would be playing in State College or Winsport. I think it was.
Yes.
I don't.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. And they really keep it alive. They had about 2,000 fans last night at the Spikes game. By the time the weekend's over with, they're going to get some big crowds of maybe 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 probably before the weekend's over with.
What did they average before when they were connected with other times? Do you think some of it has to do with the people just coming back from the pandemic also?
Coming back from the pandemic is part of it because the first four games were limited to 2,300, and the Spikes got a 2,300 crowd one game. And then they had rain. So they lost three dates with Trenton because of rain. So that didn't help. They averaged about 3,200 last year. 2 years ago, they averaged about 3,200. So usually it's in the 3,000 to 3,200 range. I wouldn't doubt before it's all said and done, they're back to about that range.
Well, I guess it's working then. All right. Well, that was my questions. Don't take this the wrong way, but I don't see as much reporting on this like on the local television Wilkes-Barre stations as when the Phillies franchise was there. You know what I mean? I just don't see the same kind of coverage.
I could be wrong about that.
But.
No, you may be right about that, Dick. I agree with you. It's going to take a little bit for the concept to really settle in. When you have the name Phillies attached to you, it does mean something. When you have the name Cardinals attached to you, it means something. So fans are going to have to get used to the concept. Now, it's also the time of the year you start. You've had great summer weather this week. But before that, there's been rain, it's been cold, and here's the other part. A lot of youngsters were still in school. So now school's out. And now let's see if there's a difference with school out, with more people showing up at the park. You know, I think people are looking to have a good time. How about that? I mean, I think people are looking to have a good time.
I used to think when people would go to Winsport and follow somebody's progression through the A ball and then double A and triple A, and eventually sometimes they would see that guy playing in Philadelphia. Well, that's not going to happen now, in a sense. That's my point.
Right, and you know what? You could have a guy in the Cutters, for example, drafted by the San Francisco Giants, and all of a sudden he's up with the Giants, and you saw him there. But it doesn't give you, as a Phillies fan, of course you're an Orioles fan, you know, it'd be like you looking at Aberdeen in days gone by. Yeah. And, you know, the guy starts out at Aberdeen and works his way up. I mean, I see exactly what you're talking about, and I think it's a very fair comment.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. I was just kind of questioning. I haven't heard a lot of talk about this. Well, maybe you've talked about it, but then I don't listen every day, all day long. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Dick. All right. I know we have to wrap it up. Mark, thanks so much. Congratulations to Matt and Lisa Cotrillo. What a wonderful day for them to have their second child. All right. Back with you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.